Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
And 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got rhythm. I've got the music in me. They don't write them like this anymore.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
We got Orion Samuelson, a Navy SEAL, Pat Brady, Eric Edelstein, Nick DiGilio, Dean Richards, Walter Jacobson, top six at six, all in the show today.
Not necessarily in that order, but
I don't know.
All-star show.
Hey, Sandberg's back.
Yeah.
And she brought everyone fried cheese from Wisconsin.
Ooh, did she? Cheese curds?
No curds, yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully. Yeah, well, yeah.
Did you eat cheese curds? You don't eat cheese curds, do you? Well, I did this week. I ate a lot of cheese curds, actually.
Orion Samuelson talks about squeaky cheese.
Oh, yeah.
What is squeaky cheese? Does it literally squeak?
Cheese curds that squeak, yeah.
They squeak, when you chew it. They're really good.
Now, in northern Wisconsin, is the cheese curds, are they covered like in camouflage, or what's the story there, Vanderbilt?
What do you mean? They just come in a package. You can buy them anywhere.
Okay. Oh, we bought them cooked. They were deep fried.
There you go.
It's like a cheese stick.
I'm going to be putting up a gallery of my anniversary weekend and our trip to Wisconsin, which will cap off a fun week on Saturday when we go to Bruno Mars. I'm going to do one gallery all together, but there's a picture of the cheese curds, also with some pretzel bites.
I don't want to blow the surprise, but I'll be opening for Bruno Mars on Saturday.
Cool.
I did most of his choreography.
The kids will be excited.
It went through.
Wait, are there really
cheese curds? Why is Mr. Cochran out there, and how did he break his hip?
No, Steve, I did not bring any cheese curds. I don't think they travel. They don't travel well.
Why are his knees taped up, Bruno?
Why does Mr. Cochran have taped up knees trying to dance like him? Can we leave now?
Mm-hmm. I heard there's pyro. Do you have pyrotechnics for the opening act?
I do. I have flames that shoot out of my shoes. Of course, they're orthopedic shoes.
Does it say that on the ticket now?
Are they
that
flame
there's
going
to be because I heard that this, for certain shows now they have to put like there's going to be fire or fireworks or something.
You know, I'm not sure.
What kind of time do you have that you're reading the ticket?
Oh, because I go to a lot of shows, and then if you look, sometimes it will literally say like when Pink was at the United Center and kind of doing acrobatics, it said that
she might fall on you from the rope.
Well,
above?
I think they have to put some sort of disclaimer on there, like there's going to be aerial stunts that are performed or pyrotechnics.
I like going to the concerts in the old days. You know, I grew up in a decade called the 70s, where dinosaurs roamed the earth. And once a concert, 5-6 people might die. But you had a good time.
Right.
For the record, I've never seen Mary this happy, Steve. This is really, I think, something...
Cheese curds?
Transformational happened up there. Could have been the curds.
I did. Yeah. I had a really nice trip.
Did you stop by the cult that Mark's involved with? We did not stop by his cult.
But I was telling Andrea, this is the most relaxed trip I've had with the kids since knowing the kids. Huh. Like, where I actually enjoyed the vacation.
Well, they're getting older now. They can run around.
We were in Elkhart Lake. We stayed at the Ossoff. Doc Most actually advised my trip planning. He recommended all my restaurants, and I took all his recommendations.
Mary Vanderbilt, based on where you go in Wisconsin, that's not even Wisconsin.
It's only 2 hours and 15 minutes, which
is
ideal.
That's not Wisconsin. No.
That's Northern Illinois.
Did you do any cow tipping while you're up there?
No, we didn't do any cow tipping. No.
That's a good time.
We played golf. And we swam. We did stand-up paddleboard.
Well, that's fun.
I did that last weekend, too. Isn't that hard?
Well, I
had good abs.
It depends on what you're doing, but we did two. Like, Catherine and I were on one, and Pat and Patrick were on the other.
It's all in the balancing. It's all in the knees.
Turns out 6'5". Yeah, I have a lot of balance, though.
So. I'd love to do on-air paddleboard clinic, but we should probably do the top six, right?
Do it.
Let's do it now.
Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Item number one, Steve Bannon, if he's ever going to get fired, is going to get fired today. He did an interview that he claimed wasn't an interview because he didn't know it was an interview yesterday. And in that interview that he didn't know was an interview that he spoke on the record when he thought it was off the record because he didn't know it was an interview. In that conversation, he mocked the president's positions on North Korea. He also talked about staff changes he, Steve Bannon, was making. He essentially violated all the Trump rules, and that is, I'm in charge, you're not, and if you ever say you're in charge, I have to fire you.
Yeah. And you made some pretty awful comments, too, about the administration's, I guess, strategy, or lack thereof, with regard to North Korea, saying that they have no military solution.
Yeah,
I know. No, I know.
But when he talked about North Korea with the Kim Jong-un,
right,
and he took the Kim Jong-un philosophy and or strategy, and said it was foolish. The mm-hmm. It was the Vin Diesel thing.
Fire and fury.
Fire and fury. He went, ha! Fire and fury. I'm telling you, if he doesn't get fired today, he's never getting fired.
Yeah. Is it really possible that none of these people know what off the record and on the record means? Is that
no?
Well, that's why this is ridiculous. Because Steve Bannon was with Breitbart. He absolutely knows what's on the record. So this is either strategic or he was drunk. There's only two options.
Right, he's trying to get fired, right?
I don't know if he's trying to get fired, maybe. I guess that's a third option.
I don't know.
I mean, I could have consulted him on that if you need to get fired. There's lots of ways to get fired. President Trump's insistence that left-wing counter-protesters were as culpable as neo-Nazis and white supremacists for last weekend's violence in Charlottesville has caused up to three Republican leaders to call him out.
Up to three.
The Republican Party is essentially in the witness protection program now and is a flat embarrassment. For those of you who forgot your history or maybe didn't see the Spielberg movie, the Republican Party is the party that ended slavery. The Democrats were the racists in 1860 to 1865, prior to that, but during the Civil War. Now, Trump's Republican Party is hiding, hoping it'll all end soon. Essentially, Mitch McConnell is sitting around going, wake me up when it's over, because he wants no part of this. They're all cowards. And by the way, so are the Democrats on the leadership side who aren't speaking out either. There's only a handful of Democrats who aren't talking. Part of the reason is they enjoy seeing the Republican Party implode on itself. But again, I would say this, as I've said to candidates all the time, I don't care if you're elected or not. I don't care if you're reelected or not. There's lots of other jobs in the universe for you. Go get one. Mm-hmm. But don't have a job where you're representing the American public and you're not representing the American public. You're a coward. And that goes for Democrats, Republicans, Venusians, whoever's there. Next. President Moon Jae-in, I believe that's right, Moon Jae-in of South Korea, said today that President Trump has agreed to seek the South's consent before taking any action, including a military strike against Pyongyang. I just don't see that South Korea is going to shoot first.
Mm-mm.
That would seem to be a really bad idea. Next. Oh, look at Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan, who said on Wednesday he's not walking away from his party's bill to change the state's school funding system. We're going to vote next week. Next what? Next Wednesday now?
Next Wednesday. Yes.
Next Wednesday, Madigan and the boys and girls are going to get back together. And that point will be, what, 3 or 4 days away from school starting? Isn't it the following Tuesday in the city or something?
Yeah, and the newest deadline now, the August 10th deadline, obviously, is over. The August 29th is now the due deadline.
Yeah, so it's a red line.
Correct.
Yeah, don't cross this red line because we'll have to move it.
Yes.
There's this. Denny Hastert's federal prison sentence officially ended yesterday. Did you know that?
I did.
It seems like you just got in.
Yeah, I know. It was weird. I was working at Channel 9 yesterday, and we were debating on whether or not to actually cover that. But when they go to the halfway houses, they never stay the full time. You always know that they're going to get out of the halfway house or wherever they're, you know, stationed, if you will, or placed by the Department of Corrections. They get out a little earlier.
So he sexually abuses boys, and these boys now are young men who are damaged and have to try to figure out how to live their lives after this kind of abuse. And what did he do, 15 minutes in prison?
Well, remember, though, he didn't serve time for abusing boys. He served prison time for lying about the cover-up, about the hush money.
Because the statute of limitations was up.
Correct, the statute of limitations, which now there is no statute of limitations as of this week. Yeah.
And honestly, without the Denny Hastert case, it probably wouldn't have gone this way, right?
Absolutely, yep. That's why they Lisa Madigan pushed for that.
Oh, and by the way, if you haven't had a chance yet, buy your tickets. The Powerball goes to $510 million this morning. It will be somewhere between $700 and $800 million likely on Saturday when the drawing happens.
Let's get tickets. We'll do a show pool.
Yeah. Great.
Group ticket.
I'd love to run down to...
Everybody's going to Indiana for everything else now.
Pop.
Can you give me some pop while you're there?
Cigarettes, yeah.
That's your Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Nick's going to join us next.
What to see, what's out at the show, I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on Gian's Cochran show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Hey, good morning to our friend and Walk of Famer, Nick DiGiulio. Hey, buddy.
Thanks, man. Yeah, good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Have you had, since the Walk of Fame induction, have you had WOTH monogrammed on all your clothing? W-O-F.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, on everything I own. Yeah. My mailbox, it says Walk of Famer Nick DiGiulio.
That's what it should. I mean, come on, please. It's not like everybody's on the Walk of Fame. All right, so let's talk.
When I sign my rent check every month,
Woffer.
Walk of Famer Nick DiGiulio.
I don't even know why they're charging you rent. It should be a pleasure to have them have you live there.
Yeah, you don't know me very well.
No. Let's go over some of these movies. What is Logan Lucky?
Logan Lucky is Steven Soderbergh's latest movie.
Well, we like him.
Absolutely. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I hear nothing but great things about it. Some people say it's the funniest movie of the year. Let me just run down the cast real quick before I tell you what it's about.
Okay.
So it's Steven Soderbergh, who has directed many great movies. Daniel Craig, Channing Tatum, Adam Driver, Riley Keough, Seth MacFarlane, Hilary Swank, Katie Holmes, Dwight Yoakam.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you miss with that.
Yeah, and it's a heist movie, and he's made a few of those, the Ocean's 11, 12, and 13 movies, obviously. But this is sort of like a redneck heist movie. It's about a couple of dumb dudes from West Virginia who decided they're going to rip off a motor speedway in North Carolina, and they hire a demolition expert played by Daniel Craig, and his name, a demolition expert named Joe Bang, and they hire him, and they have to do this heist during a NASCAR event. So that's basically what the movie is about, people trying to rip off a race car stadium, a motocross, or a speedway.
Ocean's 11 for rednecks.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's getting great reviews. You know, tremendous cast. Steven Soderbergh is the man. And a lot of people are saying that this will be sort of the last really good movie of the summer, considering next week there's like basically nothing coming out, and then we hit Labor Day. But this is the last sort of hurrah for good summer movies.
And who are the leads? Channing Tatum and who else?
Yeah, Channing Tatum and Adam Driver play the brothers.
Adam Driver, okay.
Yeah.
How are the dialects? Because neither one of them are from the South.
No, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
You saw one of your Red Band trailers or something.
Well, I saw the trailer for it, and it looks. I don't know how specific. You know, I'm not. You know, an expert on accents, but they.
Well, no, the reason I bring it up is I remember a story. Remember Burt Reynolds and Sally Field starred in. Why am I spacing on the movie?
Smokey and the Bandit.
Thank you very much. Smokey and the Bandit, and there was a question on whether or not Burt Reynolds could pull off the accent. Well, Burt Reynolds played, you know, he's from Florida, right? And he played a bunch of Southern guys his whole life. And he looks at the dialect coach, and this is an old Tonight Show story. He looks at the dialect coach, and he goes, what exactly do you want me to do? And he goes, say y'all. He says y'all. He goes, say y'all again. He goes, y'all. He goes, no. To Burt Reynolds, he goes, no, dumber. He goes, that's the instruction? Dumber? And by the way, how do you say y'all dumber? I love that story. The Hitman's Bodyguard sounds like a lovely children's book.
Yeah, this is Ryan Reynolds, who plays a top, you know, agent, a protection agent, who has to protect his mortal enemy, Samuel L. Jackson, who's a hitman, who's going to go on trial And so he basically has to protect him. Everybody's trying to kill Samuel L. Jackson, so it's wackiness ensues as Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson run around through a couple of countries, avoiding being killed. Gary Oldman's in it, and shockingly, he plays the bad guy.
Is that right? What a stretch.
Yeah, it's a huge stretch for him. And so, yeah, I mean, I've heard really horrible things about this movie, and I guess this is another one that's one of those, it's one of those films that sat on the shelf for a while, and they're dumping it in late August, which is never a good sign.
Another delightful title, The Only Living Boy in New York. What is this?
Well, that's it's actually named after a Simon and Garfunkel song, The Only Living Boy in New York.
Oh, I don't know the song.
It's a great song, a really great song. But it's about a guy played by Callum Turner, graduates from college, moves into an apartment in New York, and he befriends his neighbor, who is played by the great Jeff Bridges, who gives him some worldly wisdom and some whiskey. And he soon discovers that his father, played by Pierce Brosnan, is having an affair with Kate Beckinsale. And he wants to stop this affair, but he ends up having sex with Kate Beckinsale. And it gets a little complicated from there. The director is Mark.
Wait, how can it get complicated? So the son is having sex with the mistress of the dad.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And it's directed by Mark Webb, who did the really great 500 Days of Summer and the really bad reboot Spider-Man movies. So I don't know what to expect from this, but I hope it's good, considering, you know, it's a great cast. Jeff Bridges is in it, so automatically I'm inclined to like it.
And Kate Beckinsale's a slut. Well, I mean, that's hard to miss.
Yeah.
Patty Cakes is our final movie on the list here. Is this about, because a lot of people don't know this, Patty Vasquez pastry business on the side, Patty Cakes?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
I thought so.
It's a documentary about Patty's cakes.
what is Patty Cakes?
All right. This is the one I've seen for this week, and it's actually a really terrific movie. It's about a girl from New Jersey who's considered a loser. Nobody likes her. Kathy Moriarty plays her her grandmother, and she's trying to break out of this small town in New Jersey. And so she figures, you know, she's kind of a hefty white girl from New Jersey, and they don't necessarily, you don't think rappers, you know, you don't think fantastic hip hop stars when you think that, but that's what she wants to do. And she does that, and she starts her career as a rapper. And it's a lovely, lovely movie. With some great performances. It's a little independent movie. It's going to be shown on about four or five screens in the city starting tomorrow. But it's one to seek out. It's one of those low-budget gems that kind of comes from nowhere. First-time director, really original story. It's a solid, solid film. And that's the one I've seen so far this week. And it's a terrific one. I can recommend that one.
All right. And the Nick Movie Club next stop is?
Yeah, it's Dog Day Afternoon, which, by the way, I just want to thank everybody for coming out to Revenge of the Nerds. Curtis Armstrong was there. Booger was there. We had a massive house, and he was great. He posed with pictures. He signed books. He told incredible stories about his career and all the movies that he made. And we had a ton of people out there, and I want to just thank everybody for coming out. But my next one is Tuesday, September 12th. It's at the AMC Rosemont 18, which used to be the Movie Cup. And it's one of my favorite movies of all time, one of the best movies of the 70s, and in my opinion, the best performance Al Pacino has ever given. And it's Dog Day Afternoon, and to see this movie on the big screen is a treat. So I think
it's one of the great bank robbery movies of all time, because it has almost nothing to do with the bank robbery.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, the cast is just insane. John Cazale, Charles Durning, Chris Sarandon, Lance Hendrickson, and a remarkable. I remember the first time I saw Dog Day Afternoon, I was 10.
Well, of course you did. Of course you did. Yeah. And then you came home and you went, Attica! Attica!
Exactly, I'm not kidding. That's what I did. And I'm not kidding. But it was the movie that really showed me what acting was. Like, I'd seen a ton of movies, but then, like, I realized, wow, these people are pretending, and they're doing it really well. And to this day, it's my favorite Al Pacino performance. And I understood everything that was happening in the movie except for the Attica part. And I remember asking my dad during the movie, why is he saying Attica? And my dad goes, I'll tell you later.
Right, because he knew he would forget to ask again.
Yeah. No, I did. And then he told me about the riots and all that stuff, And so I learned something that day as a 10-year-old about prison riots, and yeah.
It's a sweet story about a father and a son. Yes, it really is. All right, say y'all.
I got to do it dumber, though, right?
That's exactly right. I'll talk to you later. That's right. Nick DiGilio with lovely show business compendium of movies this weekend. Sounds like there's a couple movies to see.
There's a lot of good movies coming out.
There's a couple to see, at least this weekend, right? What are you doing in the big story?
Big story. Jeff Sessions taking aim at Chicago again yesterday and had a few facts wrong, Steve.
No.
Just we'll a couple.
We'll get to that next. Oh, and Trump's tweeting. Yeah, it's early. He's up and he's tweeting. That's all next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I never spoke to Mr. Bannon about it.
But can you tell us broadly what your... Do you still have confidence
well,
in Steve?
Well, we'll see. And look. I like Mr. Bannon. He's a friend of mine. But Mr. Bannon came on very late. You know that. I went through 17 senators, governors, and I won all the primaries. Mr. Bannon came on very much later than that. And I like him. He's a good man. He is not a racist. I can tell you that. He's a good person. He actually gets a very unfair press in that regard. But we'll see what happens with Mr. Bannon. But he's a good person, and I think the press treats him, frankly, very unfairly.
The most insecure human being on the planet. By the way, did you know I did everything? I did everything, and then everybody that came after me because I did everything. When this all ends, and it will, Steve Bannon ought to thank the president for not saying he was the one that got him elected. Steve Bannon is the guy that was running Breitbart. Breitbart is the alt-right news website, as dubbed by Mr. Bannon. Mr. Bannon called a liberal writer and told him he was a fan of a piece he had written. A piece he had written about the Asian Peninsula in particular, in North Korea, it's the American Prospect. It turned into an article titled Steve Bannon Unrepentant. In the article, Steve Bannon says things like, there's a fight I have every day, and this fight is over China and economic policy. We're still fighting this. Treasury, Gary Cohn, Goldman Sachs lobbying. I'm fighting it. He was just getting warmed up. He said specifically, Susan Thornton, the acting director of the East Asian and Pacific Affairs Division of the State Department, is someone he'll get rid of. Here's the quote. I'm changing out people at East Asian Defense. I'm getting Hawks in. I'm getting Susan Thornton out at State. Now, he, as I said, he's just getting warmed up. But if he's going to have this freewheeling conversation, you can have that off the record. But the idea that Steve Bannon doesn't know what off the record means, and if he's talking to a writer, he doesn't know that he should, you know, should make it clear that he's off the record, is ridiculous. Is it possible this guy from American Prospect told him he was off the record and then wrote it anyway? No. Not at American Prospect, not at the Weekly Reader. If you have any sense of professionalism, if you get paid to be a journalist,
right.
That's rule number one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You establish if you're on or off.
Right.
Very simple.
Here's the one that should get Bannon fired. The President of the United States, whether you agree with him or not, and again, for new listeners, I don't. But the President of the United States has a policy that he's entitled to make because he's President of the United States. The people that work for the President of the United States are responsible to shore that policy up, contribute their part to make it better, but certainly not contradict it publicly if they want to continue to work for the president. So Trump has every reason to fire this knucklehead today. Bannon on the North Korea situation. There's no military solution. Forget it. Until somebody solves the part of the equation that shows me that 10 million people in Seoul don't die in the first 30 minutes from conventional weapons, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no military solution here. Wait for it. They got us. You just took the leverage that the president might have and stomped on it. Now, look, there's no guarantee that Kim Jong-un is going to read this story about this alleged off-the-record, on-the-record interview. But now it's out publicly. If you're Donald Trump, you've got to fire this guy today.
Mm-hmm. Completely. When you're talking to a reporter... He considers himself a journalist, or at one point did.
Yeah.
You know you're on the record.
There's not a single time that any of us have had a conversation with anyone in the media about some sort of sharing of information.
Right.
Where you didn't make it clear. I'm talking about with friends.
Right.
Conversations with friends in the business where you go, all right, so we're clear. This is you and I. Mm-hmm. This is not for air. This is not for print. This is not for TV. This is off the record.
Right. Absolutely.
It's just standard operating procedure. That's how it works. In other news this morning, there is a great list out, and I think this sets up a great text question for the day. Presidential nicknames.
Oh.
What should Donald Trump's nickname be?
Like the Secret Service when they have a code name?
No,
for the
like Honest Abe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Dishonest Don. There's one right off the top. 312-981-7200 is the number. Text your idea of what Donald Trump's nickname should be. Now, keep in mind, these nicknames come from the time that these presidents lived in. For instance, George Washington, you know what his nickname was?
What was it? Well,
American Fabius. American Fabius. First commander-in-chief earned the nickname based on a strategy used to fight the British in the Revolutionary War, named for a Roman dictator. See, back then, if you said, hey, American Fabius, you were cool.
I called him G-Dub.
G-Dub, see, that wouldn't have worked now.
Just father of the country is what I...
John Adams, you know what they called him? Old Sink or Swim. Mm. He got the nickname from a speech he gave. Sink or Swim, Survivor, Perish with My Country.
Ja Rule.
Thomas Jefferson was called Long Tom. Any idea why?
He was tall?
Very tall. 6'2".
Oh.
Six feet, 2.5 inches tall. Very tall, especially for his the era he lived in.
Yeah.
James Monroe, I should say. He was called the last of the cocked hats.
What?
The last of the cocked hats. The man behind the Monroe Doctrine was the last of the major politicians to have fought in the Revolutionary War. And they wore cocked hats. Mm-hmm. John Quincy Adams.
JQ.
Old Man Eloquent. See, some of these nicknames were way too long to be able to, but they had more time then. They didn't have the internet to distract them. The second Adams to hold office got the nickname during his time as a congressman and his passionate support of freedom of speech and universal education. Old Man Eloquent. Andrew Jackson. They called him Sharp Knife.
All Jack all the time.
No. Native Americans called him Sharp Knife, I should say, for his fighting tactics. They also called him Pointed Arrow.
And Old Hickory, too, it says.
Well, that's the one we know more, right? Yeah. William Henry Harrison. Old Granny.
That
fits.
The Granny nickname got thrown around a lot back in the day. In Harrison's case, Democratic detractors, including Martin Van Buren, gave the 68-year-old the nickname to get across the idea that he was both really, really old, because most people then didn't live to 68, and really, really out of touch. He came down with a cold 3 weeks after his inauguration, turned out to be pneumonia and pleurisy, and he died soon after. He was the first president to die in office. Here's another one that's not very complimentary. John Tyler. His nickname? His accidency. He was Harrison's VP, got the nickname because he became president after Harrison's death.
So that's already taken.
Zachary Taylor was old Rough and Ready. Franklin Pierce was called Purse because of his financial corruption. James Buchanan was 10 Cent Jimmy. Andrew Johnson was Sir Vito. Ulysses S. Grant was called Unconditional Surrender Grant. He was reportedly nicknamed Useless by his father. Well, that hurts. The nicknames got better during the Civil War. After capturing Fort Donelson in Tennessee, he was called Unconditional Surrender Grant because he got unconditional surrender from his enemies.
It's a lot to put on a T-shirt.
It is. And it doesn't ring with the modern advertising slogans.
These are great, some of these.
I got stopped at. They died back then from pneumonia.
And pleurisy.
And then they figured out how to cure pneumonia. Mm-hmm. Do you know how smart humans are? Do you understand the chance that somebody of my ilk over here would ever figure out the cure of pneumonia?
No.
They figured that out back then.
Yeah, they did.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because they didn't have the distractions that we have now. They had to focus on
that. Oh, that's why. That's
got to be it.
Rutherford B. Hayes, his fraudulency. James Garfield, Canal Boy. That sounds very, very insulting.
Yeah.
This one seems like it could fit today. Chester Arthur, Dude President.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes called America's First Gentleman, the 21st President, got the nickname Dude President because of his sense of style. That translates. All right, Donald Trump's nickname, 312-981-7200. We started you off with Dishonest Donald. What else you got? Nicknames, bring them in. Mary, you guys jumping in on the Name the Trumpster nickname. The Twidiot.
Oh,
Twitter an idiot?
Yeah.
Stumpy. I don't know why.
Oh, because the hands.
Oh, okay, that works. Yeah. I love this one from the 847. Inmate 4545454545.
That's good, too.
847 Ding the Clueless. 8 make it 630 Big Headed Don. 312 His Orangeness. 31 well, I can't do that one. 815 Looney Duck. 847 President Puckerface, and this is really good. 815 Sir Lies-a-Lot.
Oh, that's wow.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Crooked Hillary, Pop. Crooked Hillary Clinton.
Crazy Bernie, he doesn't give up. Crazy Bernie, he's crazy as a bedbug, but you know, he doesn't quit.
You know, I have a new nickname for him. 1 for 41.
Little Marco.
I'm not going to say Little Marco. I refuse to say Little Marco. It's Pocahontas Elizabeth Warren. She said because her cheekbones were high, she was an Indian.
Lion Ted, Lion Ted. What's your name? My name's Lion Ted Cruz.
You're a liar. Ooh. Bible high, Bible high. Puts it down and then he lies.
For a guy that loved the name, everybody. I mean, you know, look, he's not going to be in office much longer, so we need to get him a nickname soon. Is that a nickname that'll stand the test of time? Honest Abe. Stood the test of time.
It did.
Dishonest Donnie is where this started, but all the listeners have taken a step up. It's tremendous. How about the DLF? Delicate Little Flower. Kind of cool, right?
That is a good one.
The Twidiot came in earlier. Sir Lies-a-Lot. We got a bunch of orange submissions. There's Orange Crushed, Orange Ruffy, the Orange Supremacist, Orange Foolius.
Oh, right. Instead of Orange Julius.
Right? Yeah. Chester Cheeto.
President Cheeto.
Chester Cheeto.
Chicken Twit has been submitted.
Oh.
Yeah. The Comb Over. Old Covfefe.
That's a good one.
This is more of a movie title of his presidency than it is a nickname, but I like it. Nightmare on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Ding Dong Dumb Donnie. Sir Tweets Too Much.
That's a good one, too.
Did I mention the comb over? I think I did.
Yeah.
Number three. Why? Because he'll be the third president impeached, but he'll claim he's number one.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's good. That's a good one.
The Heresy.
Heresy, get it?
Flava Flake. I'm sorry, Flava Fake.
Flava
I got
fake.
Jeff Flake on my mind. Flava Fake, because of his love of the use of the word fake. The Disaster in Chief and Trumpster Fire.
Oh, that's a good one, too. That's one Jake
strong.
Likes.
Very strong. Very strong. Keep them coming, kids, as Pat Brady joins us now, live from San Diego, California this morning. You like those nicknames?
I love them all. Your listeners are very sharp, but it might end up being just an inmate number that the radio's going.
Well, that's one of them. One of them came in earlier. It was inmate number 45, 45, 45, 45, 45. one that just came in a second ago, Cinnamon Hitler. That's just... Well, you know, Hitler appears to be a friend of his now. You're live in San Diego, but let's go live to Springfield. What do you know from the road? And I know you've been traveling, but what happened with the House taking this up? Why are they waiting till next Wednesday? Where are we at?
More Speaker Madigan game plan. They did a fake vote yesterday like they always do. There are some good faith negotiations going on with all the leaders and the governor. They are trying to get something done. But what typically happens is there's a big head fake like this, and at the end nothing gets done. But I don't think the Democrats right now have the votes to override the veto. But we'll wait and see what happens. But it'll probably be next week.
Are there any Democrats that could bolt from Madigan on this, or has he got everybody there and he needs the Republicans?
I think he's got them all locked down. He's got to pick up, I think, four Republicans. But I think the Republicans, I don't think it's going to be like the budget vote. I think that right now they're standing firm. But we'll wait and see, because we thought that last time before the budget vote. But I think he may not be successful in this. But, again, yesterday was just all game playing. He's such a twerp. He calls a meeting or a session during Governor's Day at the State Fair just because he can.
Yeah.
It's just petty.
A complete waste of time. Complete
yes,
waste of time.
Exactly.
This, again, is show number 969, and if Mike Madigan shows up on the show, it's an opportunity for Mike Madigan to answer the tough questions that the people of the state deserve to have answered. Jake, have you heard from Madigan? Because he's invited. Well, that means you could be a big winner. That's right. You could be a big winner at 312-981-7200. Now, we have an exciting announcement from Pat Brady. Pat Brady has decided to bring back drinks at the Trump Tower. All right, so how's this going to work?
Well, it's kind of what the president does when he makes a mistake, a huge mistake, like he did in Charlottesville. He never admits anything. He just doubles down. And, you know, I made a big mistake for 18 months where I publicly had a contest that if you can pick the day Donald Trump drops out of the presidential race, I'll buy $500 worth of drinks at Trump Tower. Well, that didn't work out so well. But I'm going to double down now, so it's $1,000 if you can predict the day he drops out of or is removed from the presidency. So
again,
to go to Trump Tower. It's $1,000 on the table.
All right. So if they just you're going to keep track of the grid here, right? So
yeah,
they're going to
yeah.
get a hold of you on social media. Let's just go Twitter, Pat_Brady on Twitter, and send him the date. You can probably need date and time because a day you're going to get a lot of winners.
Right.
You need date yeah. and time. So it has to be in the hour that Trump actually will leave office by resignation. By resignation by impeachment.
But it's the day he actually leaves the White House, not the
date
he's impeached or the date he decides to leave.
Okay. Pence, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. 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 How about the Lion King? These texts continue to come in. Humpty Trumpty. His Linus. These are all tremendous from the listeners. Trump nicknames as they continue to come in.
You know, it outrages him when he gets criticized or made fun of. Drives him absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to send him the whole list. I'm going to have it embossed in gold because you know how he loves gold. It's a toilet in the New York office.
Well, you think about it, Steve. He's got it right where he wants it. He's 32% open criminal investigation. The headlines of Sun Times yesterday calling him a bigot. I mean, it couldn't go any better.
Now, the Republicans, however, and I know this troubles you as much as it does me and troubles anybody, the Republicans are missing in action here. And once again, you've got the 80-year-old with a brain tumor who ought to be fighting for his life every day, who is, at this point, one of the few man enough to stand up and call this president out for tacitly endorsing Nazis and the KKK.
And it's a problem because, and we talk about it time and time again, and I know it's dry and boring, but we have these gerrymandered districts where if you're going to criticize somebody like President Trump, who's got a base of approval, about 25-26%, they're very worried about angering those people in a primary because their whole race is a primary. It has nothing to do with the generals anymore. And I agree. I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're trying to just make him irrelevant. But which you can do when President
you
Clinton
can't outweigh him. You can't. Listen, you and I. If there's one thing I have, it's a sense of where the public might be on this. You can't outweigh him. You just can't. It's not going to get better. There's no sign it's going to get better. And the Republican Party is literally burning itself to the ground.
I agree, and it's going to be bad if someone doesn't stand up. And I think it's time for someone like Senator McCain to keep doing the right thing. It'd be a heroic moment for somebody, but nobody's done it yet except for Senator McCain.
Mitch McConnell is literally sitting in Kentucky hiding, just hoping he'll open his eyes and it'll all be over because there is a threat that he'll be primaried. This is not exactly the old days when you'd get slapped in the face and you'd have to go out with pistols at 20 paces and shoot each other because it was a matter of honor. These are people who are desperately trying to hold on to the jobs that they allegedly were elected to represent you, the American public. And by the way, the Democrats or Republicans, there's no honor on either side because the Democrats are waiting around because watching Trump spin himself into the ground is good for the Democrats politically.
It's a low moment in our history, I think. This weekend, watching him on Monday of the press conference, I mean, what a lunatic. And the things that he said, just unacceptable. He's got to go. And I've been trying to be nice in the last eight months. But it's over.
Nice is over. Yep. He's never been concerned about being nice, so why does anyone else owe him that?
Well, you want to support him because you want the country to do well, but right now he's damaging the country.
Listen, that ship has sailed, and that ship is the Titanic, the ship that you would be on if you were going to support this guy at this point, because there is no reason to believe he is in this for anybody but himself, and because of that, he is the greatest danger to this country right now. Listen, it's the old horror movie line. We trace the call. It's coming from inside the house. He's got a gun.
That press conference was something like I have never seen. And the statements he made and the inability to just denounce these Nazi nut jobs and not think twice about it. It's something that he just never thought could happen from a president of the United States.
He has Jewish grandchildren. And he can't denounce Nazis?
Well, this is the guy that got one or two newspaper endorsements the entire time during the campaign, and one of those was the David Duke newspaper, the KKK newspaper. I don't think it's not planned, because when he wouldn't renounce David Duke in the primary, that was right before the Southern primaries. So I think this is, I think it's worse than even just people saying, oh, he just talks off the top of his head. I think it's a plan. I mean, he wants to keep these groups happy, but which is disgusting.
I mean, it could be, but then you're ascribing strategy to a guy who's a, he just rolls out of bed and opens his mouth. Now,
strategy, if it's all about him, it helps him. I think he does think about that.
Yeah, maybe. American Prospect Magazine, I got to let you go on this, but American Prospect Magazine does an interview with Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon claims he doesn't know it's an interview, which means he's either drunk or he's got some strategy of his own he's trying to pull. But in it, amongst the things he says is, there is no military solution to North Korea. That's never going to happen. Quote, they got us. He's got to be fired today.
It's inexplicable. I mean, what do you think General Kelly's doing right now, or McMaster, these people, real military people, not fake people or draft dodgers like Trump? What do you think these military guys are
doing?
They
need leverage on this guy. And the president of the United States, as much as I dislike and disapprove of Donald Trump, he cannot tolerate this. You cannot have someone working for you who just takes the leverage you have over a lunatic on the other side of the world and throws it away.
Yeah, it was last night. I was watching the Navy SEALs out here in the ocean training. And I mean, these young men and women going into harm's way, and they got a goofball like Bannon in the president's ear. I mean, you're risking your life for this stuff.
So if he doesn't fire Bannon today, what's Bannon have on him?
I don't know. It must be the Breitbart alt-right crowd that he needs their support. But Bannon's hung on maybe just by laying low, but obviously didn't with that. So I don't know why he wouldn't get rid of him. He has a weird personnel policy.
Maybe down the road, Bannon and Vladimir Putin and Trump could get an apartment in New York.
A timeshare.
Yeah.
Then they can get out of it.
Enjoy your time with your daughter, and safe travels home.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go. That's what's his name again? Pat Brady? Eric Edelstein's here. Eric, where do you work?
I work at AL Media.
All right. They can follow you on social media as well. Top Twit just came in a second ago. That's another one of the nicknames that come in.
What was the other tweeting one?
The Twittiot.
The Twittiot.
Yes.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I had one that was a little long.
What was it?
This would be funny if it weren't so scary.
It's as Vandeveld said earlier, it doesn't fit on a T-shirt.
No,
all
it doesn't
that well.
Fit on a T-shirt.
Yeah. At 7:29, we'll take up the press conference in just a little bit, but it appears that the president this morning on Twitter and through other places is trying to move on to other distractions as fast as he can, which is, that's his move. That's Donnie's move.
It's his move, but he's the one who got in his own way again. I mean,
exactly.
This thing was behind him. He did the statesman-like thing, I guess, by reading the statement over the weekend to clean it up. And then Monday, he just pooped his pants again. I mean, the guy can't
get out of his own
way. Well,
Saturday he did the original mistake. Monday he does the hostage tape.
Right.
And then it was 2 days ago.
I'm sorry, 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
That's right.
When he decided it was time to come out and just restate Saturday and start the fire all over again.
And it's like he's so obstinate. You know, you and Brady were talking about it. At best, he's an idiot. At worst, he's this conniving, racist, you know, encourager of the worst angels of our nature. But in either case, he's so inelegant the way he does it. I mean, I may cause some contrary. There were ways to make some of the points he made without being so offensive, where you condemn the white supremacists, you condemn the neo-Nazis, and you say, should we have a debate about tearing down these historic statues, right? And are there people who are not violent or racist who want to have that debate? But to suggest that these were nice people and all this kind of stuff, he just can't get out of his
own
way.
The way you just said it is the way you said it. And there are some things that are political or just general conversation that you just know are rights and wrongs.
Right.
The Klan and Nazis, those are two of them.
Right.
There's no other side to the Klan or Nazis.
No.
The Germans, I don't know if you know this, Germany, that's where that whole Nazi thing started. It's illegal to be a Nazi in Germany.
How about, there was a post yesterday that said, we had a whole war about this.
Well, right. How about the fact, I think the German government chastised Trump, or at least put out a statement.
Yeah.
Like, what topsy-turvy world are we in now where Germany is lecturing the United States about Nazis.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that for a second.
Making
the other thing that struck me, Steve, was I might have this wrong, but all four of the Joint Chiefs of Staff took to social media, and I mean, they didn't condemn the president, but they condemned racism, bigotry, and all this stuff.
Right.
How extraordinary. I mean,
I don't think it's ever happened.
This is the commander in chief, and in a sense, the four heads of the military are basically taking him to task.
Yeah.
That's unprecedented.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever happened. Yeah, from everything I've seen.
And enough with the name calling too. He's
unless
on Twitter.
It's a good nickname.
I know you exactly right. I know we're going to talk about this too, but Lindsey Graham, the media, and Jeff Flake, who he's calling Flake Jeff Flake now, all being name called on Twitter today.
Here's the other thing. Do we have a sec? Do I have a second?
Well, hold it. We'll come back and do it. Yeah, we've got plenty of time because you and I are hanging out for a while.
Okay.
Eric Edelstein will be here until John Williams comes on at 1. Stand by for that. At 7:33, the big story next, and 7:20 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
When you say the alt-right, define alt-right to me. You define it. Go ahead.
Well, I'm saying as
Senator, define it for me. Come on, let's go. Define
Senator
it for
McCain
me.
Defined them as the same group.
Okay, what about the alt-left that came charging at? Excuse me. What about the alt-left that came charging at the, as you say, the alt-right? Do they have any semblance of guilt? Let me ask you this. What about the fact they came charging, that they came charging with clubs in the hand, swinging clubs? Do they have any problem? I think they do. Wait a minute. I'm not finished, fake news. You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either.
That's another Trump move where he goes, you know I'm right, and you know the same thing, and you're thinking the same thing. One of the things that's fascinating about this time, and I don't know, it's not even frightening because you get numb to it after a while, is when you drive by a car accident, hopefully you have the humanity to go, wow, I hope everybody's okay. But you got to look. And I think this entire period of time, we have trouble moving beyond it because we've never seen anything like it. It's literally a car accident that started 2.5 years ago now. Is that right? About that. And continues. And you have to look. You analyze it to death. You talk about it. Oh, another nickname just came in, Forrest Trump. It continues to be fascinating. Yeah. But the point you made before the break, which I think is important to restate, and we were just having a discussion about statues and monuments off the air, there's a very fair discussion to be had about violence on the left and violence on the right and being able to protest without violence. That's a great conversation to have. That has nothing to do with the fact that the sitting president of the United States doesn't understand that you have to. It's in your job description. You have to condemn the Ku Klux Klan, the Nazi Party, and the notion of white supremacy. You have to. Those are separate stories.
If you know anything about the founding documents and the evolution of the amendments to the U.S. Constitution, everything those groups stand for are 180 degrees the opposite of what this country stands for. And if you're the president of the United States, part of your job is to bring people together. And he doesn't understand that, or he doesn't care to understand that.
600,000 Americans died in the fight over slavery, the ultimate racism. The Great War was a fight over saving the world.
Right.
And 6 million Jews died at the hands of Adolf Hitler. Just basic humanity. The president of the United States ought to be able to stand up and say, let's have the conversation about the right to protest without violence. Mm-hmm. Let's have the conversation about monuments. But I will never, ever, ever say that there are some good people in the Klan and there are some good people marching with the Nazis, because guess what? They're not.
Well, here's the other thing, Steve, is there's a lot of moral outrage and there's a lot of sort of theoretical, this is disgusting, but there's a real world consequence to this. You know, Chris Kennedy, who you know I'm working for, there's a big event today in Springfield for the Democratic Party chairman, and there's a cattle call, all these politicians speak. And they usually do this red meat.
Is today Democrat Day?
It's Democrat Day. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So Chris said, I'm not going to do that. I want to talk about Charlottesville. And here's what I want to talk about is he said, President Trump said, where does this end? And he said, I'll tell you where it ends. And he's going to say this in his remarks. And this was all him. And Kennedy said, when I was a little boy, I can't tell you how many times I was at Arlington looking at Robert E. Lee's house at the grave of my father and my uncle. Mm-hmm. and looking out at all the graves at Arlington. And that's where political speech that's violent ends. It ends in people dying. And, you know, that's not to be grandiose or to be morbid. But when Trump encourages this kind of language, he encourages these people who want to kill people, who want to bring violence and want to bring death. And it's just corrosive to everything this country stands on. And if you stand at Arlington, where there are, you know, hundreds of thousands of graves of people who fought to defend this country, who fought against slavery, who fought against Nazism, who were the victims of hatred, the victims of this kind of political speech, you say there's something bigger here than Democrat or Republican.
Well, and if anybody has the right to talk about it, it's the guy who was a little boy when his father, Robert Kennedy, was murdered.
But there's just there's
so
real,
it's not dramatic. It's not.
But there's real world consequences when Trump defends people who purport violence. And it encourages them to go out and say, we can go bash heads, we can kill people, we can assassinate, we can do all these things.
Well, it's also troubling, too, with him defending his initial statement, which took a long time to release the statement, and saying, well, I wanted to get all my facts right. This incident is exactly the incident that you should react to, that you should immediately denounce what happened, denounce the Nazis, denounce the white supremacists.
You're 1,000% right. And it's
absolutely
easy.
And then you can go back and say whatever if it was a different group. But this is the exact incident that should be reaction to.
And if anybody thinks that what he said was okay, all you have to do is look at the Nazis and the KKK's response, saying, thank you, Mr. President, for backing us up, for encouraging us. And what that says is he's encouraging people who purport violence, who purport the actual use of weapons and the use of violence to get their point of view across.
But why not denounce it? Mark Carman had an interesting theory or thought earlier when he said, why not? Do you think you're going to isolate your base or your supporters?
That's the only explanation.
Why not?
And I don't know that we supply or apply logic to him. That's the only explanation.
You go down this path of trying to understand motive with this guy, and it's a dangerous place because then you get inside that brain, and that's a really frightening place
to be. It's very scary. It's a Six Flags and all the rides are broken.
I'm just saying, if he came out like, look, I really, really wanted to be the president and I would take any vote that I possibly could get in there, I'm going to own that. But at this point, I'd rather not be president to be aligned with this group. I think he has a lot more to gain.
I totally agree.
We'll come back and talk about the Republican and Democrat Party's responsibility here. We have three co-equal branches of government. The Supreme Court isn't in play yet, but they could be at some point. But where is Congress? The mess in the White House. And is Steve Bannon going to get fired today? I think Donald Trump has every right to fire him, and he should fire him, based on an interview Bannon did yesterday, or published yesterday. 7:51. It's traffic. The Republican Party, Eric Edelstein, is missing. I don't know if we need to, put out an APB, but I'm worried about them because certainly they'd stand up and speak out against what President Trump said, wouldn't they?
You would think so. And, you know, some of them put out statements or tweets, but that's not exactly profiles and courage, putting out words. It's actions that matter. And I think they would do themselves a lot of good and the country a lot of good in healing this moment by taking much more forcible action. I also think that, you know, the people that work in that White House, you know, that we were talking about it off the air, the Cohn and Mnuchin and some of the other people who are Jewish, frankly, who were standing there when he gave these remarks. It's shocking to me that they haven't resigned at this point. And these are not people that need these jobs. I mean, maybe their egos need the power of being advisors to the President of the United States. But these are rich guys.
They're all parties to the problem now. They're all culpable.
They're complicit. They are all complicit.
So you would think they'd be for their own self-salvation, right? Their own salvation they'd be getting out.
You know, if you are a bystander, you are complicit. And if you see wrong, you have to stand up and try to right it. Mm-hmm. And you have to speak out against it. And I don't care what party you are or where your affiliations may lie. It's part of being not just an American, but a human being. And, you know, the lack of courage. And this should not be just partisan sniping on the Democratic side. This should be everyone saying this is outrageous and it needs to stop.
Well, and the name calling too. You talk about being a human being. If the president continues to denounce people of his own party, he'd ream Jeff Sessions a few weeks ago. Stand up for yourself.
And what'd you say he's calling Jeff Flake today?
Flaky Flake.
You know what would be another good one besides the nickname Steve is is having people come up with the titles of the books that the political scientists are going to write years from now looking back at this moment. Like,
I think WTF is probably going to be the first one. On.
Exactly.
When America lost its mind.
Yeah. Before you go, there is this lingering thought that comes up, and it comes up with every president, but in this case, it's more stark than anything else. I'd be curious to get your take on it. Because...
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
813, Dean Richards here. And Dean, before we jump to the important show business news, it occurred to me this morning that, you know, since Trump's not going to be around that much longer, he needs a nickname, and a nickname that will last and stand the test of time. You know, like Honest Abe.
Mm-hmm.
So I threw out Dishonest Donnie, and the listeners went nuts. Would you like to hear a few of these?
Went nuts in a good or bad way?
Oh, well, there's the same seven, the Cochrane seven, the text every morning would like me to die. But no, the rest are all very entertaining and creative. Here are a few. Okay. Top Twit. The Lying King.
Oh, I like that one.
Humpty Trumpty.
Okay.
Trumpster Fire. I'm trying to read my own handwriting here. Inmate number 45, Heresy, Flava Flake, Orange Fulius, Chicken Twit, Sir Lies-a-Lot, the Twittiot, the DLF. You know what the DLF is?
I don't.
The Delicate Little Flower.
Oh.
Old Covfefe, Ding Dong Dum Donnie, Sir Tweets Too Much, and about 300 versions of the Comb Over and the Grabber in Chief.
Mm.
Huh? How about those listeners?
I like the musical theater one that you mentioned, The Lion King.
The Lion King? Is that your leader in a clubhouse?
For me, just, you know, because it's theater entertainment.
How about Heresy? Did I mention Heresy? Heresy's pretty strong. So, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. About a week ago, I pulled a muscle in my back.
A little uncomfortable this morning?
And, well, it's been like for like over 10 days, it's been pretty unpainful. And I went to my doctor and he recommended that I get massage, that I find, you know, someplace to get a really good therapeutic massage.
Is this some story you're making up to lean into the fact that you were arrested last night for soliciting or something?
No, this is leading into a tip for you, the listeners.
Okay.
When you go on the internet and Google massage, you're going to come up with a whole wide range of things that I'm pretty sure my doctor did not have in mind when he recommended that to me.
It used to be so much harder to find a naked girl. You know, you just have to go to your dirty uncle's tree fort and find the magazines. Now, it's two clicks.
There used to be a restaurant in the West Loop, Dean. Remember Red Light? And I was trying to make a reservation, but I just... did Red Light instead of Red Light Chicago or redlightrestaurant.com literally had IT come down and said, yeah, we're going to have to give you a new profile and a new password right now.
Yeah, you got to be
porn
careful.
Queen.
You got to be careful.
I would say that if you are spending a lot of time looking at porn at work, you're probably not going to be looking at porn at work that much longer, right? I don't know.
Well, I was just looking for a good therapeutic massage.
So you claim.
Steve won't do it for me anymore.
No, so you claim.
Turns out Tribune HR had a problem with coworkers massaging each other.
Well, here's the thing. They said, listen, we've got to limit people looking at porn online, but we definitely have to limit newsroom massages. That's always a problem.
Two bald guys in that office.
Blame Ponce or Balaval.
Blame Balaval.
That's
Blame Balaval. All right, here we go. Mayor Emanuel's in the news. Tom Cruise broke something. Who can guess what it is? Who's the highest paid actress in Hollywood? And Bonnie Tyler is maybe making a trip to Southern Illinois. Dean, you must have played this record as a DJ.
Oh, 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this song.
Yeah. Oh, my
love God. It.
I want to put pins in my ears.
screams the 80s, Dean.
When I hear that song, I go, can somebody please play Kenny G instead?
No.
Wow. How about that? If you wanted Kenny G,
right?
Ooh, it must have been troubling to you.
You thought her voice was pleasant? That was
Bonnie Tyler,
not Kenny G.
That was Andre. Thanks, you guys. Yeah. Yeah. Turn around.
A helpful texter. A helpful texter says, "Tell Dean the Galter Wellness Center."
Oh yeah, I forgot
place
about that.
You should go.
Forgot about that. That's a good place.
8:17. We'll come back. Dean will do the list. It's traffic. It's Mary. It's no longer raining. And how's the cars?
You'll be calling his name. Oh 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
All right, back to Dean at Channel 9 is broken. Dean's back is broken.
If any listener would like to massage me.
Listener or viewer, you probably should open up to the viewers as well.
Viewers.
Yeah. Yep. Be a good segment, and then it would run over and over again on the Friday dance montage.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, let's do the list. Tom Cruise broke what?
He broke his ankle. I told you the other day that he was doing his own stunt. For Mission Impossible 6, you know, this will happen to you sometimes, unless you're a trained athlete like Steve,
yeah,
and you're jumping from one building to another building. If you're not trained,
Well, it's crazy. I mean, I do all my stunts. Like a few minutes ago, I got out of my chair and I walked into the producer's booth. I wasn't injured.
Yeah. Why? Training.
Training.
Experience.
I find stretching is really important.
Stretching.
Agility.
Agility.
Speed.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Have we had enough of Mission Impossibles? Do we really need a 6?
Apparently not.
I think they've all been pretty good.
Yeah, apparently not.
What are we going to, a 10 lot here?
If they're all good, why not?
So pretty soon he's got to bring on a cute neighbor kid, though. He's going to be the new Mission Impossible guy, right?
That's right.
Be funny if it was Oliver from the Brady Bunch.
So anyway, he broke his ankle.
Okay.
He broke his ankle while he was jumping.
Well, we hope he's okay. What does that mean for the filming?
They've shut down production of the film right now.
That's expensive.
That's not good. The Paramount is saying that they'll wait for him to heal before they start filming again. Still anticipating the movie to open on time in July of next year.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
And an anxious nation will hold its breath until then. Who's the highest paid actress in Hollywood?
Who? Take a guess.
Highest paid actress in Hollywood right now. Oof, I'm going to go with... I got nobody.
I would think Angelina Jolie.
No, I don't think so.
Because she's
not,
now,
not even in the top five.
Top five. No, give me a second here now. Let's see. Top highest paid actress in Hollywood. I'm waiting for one of the producers to give me the answer in my head. highest paid actress in Hollywood. Who could
Jennifer
it be?
Jennifer Aniston.
Who could it be?
Maybe.
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
Is it Emma Stone?
Emma Stone. Emma Stone.
I don't know how I do it.
All the stretching and strength training.
Mm-hmm. Earned $26 million last year. She pushed out Jennifer Lawrence, who had been in that spot for the past 2 years. Jennifer Aniston came in at number two. Jennifer Lawrence is number three now. Melissa McCarthy, number four, and Mila Kunis is number five, according to Forbes.
Seems like Melissa McCarthy would be one or two because she makes more movies, but no, huh?
I don't think her movies have made as much money as Emma Stone's, in particular last year with La La Land.
Yeah, and here's the thing, kids. If you can, remember, if there's one thing I'd like to teach the kids today, Dean, it's take the points on the back end. That's really your key.
Right, and that has nothing to do with massage. That's an industry term.
It's an industry term.
Residuals.
Take the points on the back end. Yeah, that's it.
And I also just want to point out, I don't have the figures in front of me, but I remember the highest paid actors of the year are more in the $80 million range. So this is going to be a big shock to a lot of women, not making as much as men, equal positions.
Terrible.
Another texter doesn't have a nickname for us, but says, could Steve Cott stop interrupting Dean? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I can't do that.
That's been our contract.
That's not going to happen. Bonnie Tyler's coming in for the eclipse.
She is. Now, you talk about a prime gig. I don't know how you and John didn't book something like this for the eclipse.
It's costing me, yeah.
On a cruise line that is going to be positioned exactly in the most prime spot possible for eclipse viewing on Monday.
And then she's going to sing Total Eclipse of the Heart. She's going to change it to Total Eclipse of the Sun?
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, but then I see the look in your eyes.
So good.
Oh, I get chills every time I hear it.
I'm with Dean on this. I mean, I was a disc jockey for a long time. I'm starting to get the willies.
Maybe that's it. That we've overdosed them.
You know why? Because you guys played it all the time, and Mark and I just listen to it. It's kind of like our genre, our generation.
I dance now.
Well, Mark Carmen is slow dancing with himself.
If only Dean was here.
Take myself out of that category.
So we know Dean, she's going to change it to Total Eclipse of the Sun,
it's
right?
It's a song that contains the word eclipse. It has nothing to do with what's
exactly.
Happening. It contains the word eclipse. But anyway, so she's going to, the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line is positioning their boat, their ship, whatever you call it, in the path of totality for the cruise while Bonnie Tyler sings her 1983 hit.
Total Eclipse of the Sun.
The eclipse is just over 2 minutes long, the eclipse itself. The song is 5 minutes and 50 seconds. So
crank it back up, dude. You just got to the hook.
I mean, Andre's got
it. I'm only falling apart.
Oh, getting chills.
This is a lame tie.
There's nothing I can do. A total eclipse of the heart.
That's your payoff, kids. If you're on the cruise, that's your payoff.
Yeah, Chicago's Light Rock with Steve Cochran.
Much more talk, much less music.
Bonnie Tyler was like, yes, yes, with all the eclipse hype.
300 million views of this video on YouTube
yesterday?
This week. Spotify tracking 75% increase in streams of that song.
Honestly, right? America, get outside.
I will say, if you want to be entertained, the video of this song is so 80s. It's
it is.
So 80s
is
hair,
yeah.
80s outfits, like right. Let's Get Physical. Shorty short workout clothes.
Someone put words to the video too, Dean, like the old pop-up videos, and there's a part where she's releasing doves into the air, and it's like, oh, save the doves. It's very funny.
Nicely done.
Bonnie Tyler.
So there's monitors all over the studio, as I mentioned, that we monitor the various television stations.
You've got your finger on the pulse of anything that's happening.
Yeah, and one of those, of course, is Channel 9. And several times this morning, I've seen a picture of Dean talking to Mayor Emanuel in a bar.
Right.
What was going on there?
Yeah, the mayor's office called me and said what I like.
Said, hey, the mayor needs a ride home.
The mayor wants you to buy him a drink.
Could you be the designated driver?
He may have talked to you about this because he's on so often with you in studio live. He's got this first these Friday Night Lights package that's going on where they partner up with microbreweries around the Chicago area, and they've been doing these special nights all summer that have been very successful. Friday Night Flights is what it's called, and he talked about how he wants. You know, we have more microbreweries in Chicago than anywhere in the United States.
No, I didn't know
except
that.
Portland, Oregon. And he wants to develop that, a business development, to make microbrewery to Chicago what wine is to Napa Valley, which is kind of makes sense and is an untapped resource. So that was interesting. We talked about that. We talked about the Riverwalk. We talked about finding what new ways to entertain yourself in Chicago. That was the angle with Entertainment Boy talking with the mayor of Chicago. But
boy,
you can't sit down with them and not talk about some of the news of the day. And we talked about Charlottesville, and he said something to me about his involvement in marching against Nazis and hate groups from back in the day when he was a teenager. But I also told him too, like, you know, Chicago has to be prepared for these things. You know, are we taking new measures to be a little more safe in Chicago?
This weekend is our air and water show in Chicago. I just had a security meeting in my office. We're thinking of things and preparing in ways that 15, 20 years ago we wouldn't have done. And that's, you're a global city, you got to do that. Now, on a separate note about Charlottesville is, you know, my first real political act, just as a 16-year-old, not doing something my parents took me to, was when I decided, even though the neo-Nazis were not going to demonstrate in Skokie, I was going to follow them to Marquette Park and make sure that they knew that their voice of hatred was going to be confronted with a different voice. And I am so proud of the individuals in Virginia that came to challenge the voices of hatred. Those are the real Americans who spoke up for American values.
I had never heard that about Rahm Emanuel, that he had marched against the Nazis in Marquette Park. would have been 1978.
I didn't know that either.
Is when that happened. But as he said, his first political thing that he was involved in, his parents were not, told me off camera, his parents were not crazy about that. He went down to Marquette Park to where violence, you know, possibly
did
could,
his brothers go with him?
Could
did
take
they say?
Place. He didn't say that. He didn't say if the brothers went along with. But most of the conversation was about entertainment and things to do in Chicago. We talked about, you know, is this the best time to be investing money into entertainment when schools need money, police, fire department, lots of services, all are in need of cash, and he talks about that. I'm going to play the full interview on my Sunday show this coming week, taking a page from the Steve Cochran playbook, talking with Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
Well, I'm glad you had an opportunity to pound a few with him.
He's a good guy. You know what? Afterwards, his PR people were like, come on, 10 minutes. We got to bang, bang, bang. You know, and we finished. We're laughing and goofing around. I asked him, we're in this bar. We were at the Four Moons Tavern in Roscoe Village.
Right.
And they have a pool table in the back. So I said, are you a pool player? And he looks at me. He looks down at his hand where he's cut off
the finger, nine fingers. The Arby's hand, allegedly.
Yeah. He holds up his finger and goes, I have a medical disability about playing pool. Goofing around. He goes, you want to have a beer? We sat and we had a beer when we watched the Cubs game, a little bit of the Cubs game together. It was a very pleasant afternoon.
Yeah, well, as is true with just about everybody, you got to spend a little time with them to get to know him. You can disagree with his politics, but there are things he cares about that are deeply important to the city.
Yes.
And I firmly believe that you got to have a tough guy run this town or the other people in charge in the city would turn us into the old version of Detroit in about 10 minutes.
Yep.
By the way, one more nickname came in that I think you'll enjoy before I let you go. This is a nickname for President Trump. You ready?
Yeah.
Edward Tiny Hands. See, I thought you'd like that one.
What? He's outside. Edward Tiny all the bushes hands. In front of the White House.
All right. Feel better. Go see the Galter folks.
Good idea.
All right. See you, buddy. 8:33. Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:44. How do you take the finest training? And Pat Brady was talking about watching Navy SEALs train in San Diego this morning. How do you take the finest training of our elite military, the Navy SEALs, and apply it to the business world? Well, Brandon Webb, legendary Navy SEAL, CEO of the Hurricane Group, used to be the head instructor at Sniper School, has written a book called Total Focus and joins us now. Good morning, Mr. Webb.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me, and good morning, Chicago.
Thanks for being on. Appreciate you getting up and all that. Didn't you, you've tried a couple different things in business. Have they all worked out?
I think you know the answer to that, but no, I failed miserably at my first business out of the SEAL teams in 2006, and you know, got shortly after that, my wife left me, and it was an extreme low point in my life and career. And you know, I tell that story very openly in the book, and how I dug deep and applied the you know positive psychology that we learned and taught SEAL snipers and applied that to my own life and looked at failure as an opportunity to really learn and achieve success later.
I think that's one of the primary lessons of the book called Total Focus. And again, as always, get two copies. You're careless, you'll lose the first one, and you don't want to upset a former Navy SEAL. but Brandon, exactly. Your first business swing, it felt to me like you were trying to apply stuff you thought you knew about business as opposed to stuff you knew as a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of, you know, valuable lessons that come out of the military and SEAL experience. But there's some lessons that, you know, in business and entrepreneurship and management outside of the military that I learned the hard way. And by starting a business and losing it. And, you know, I learned how to choose, you know, my next business, how to really choose partners carefully.
But you know, I think that trust in your brothers and knowing what you know.
Yeah.
I just think that's a really important lesson. Again, book's called Total Focus. You're starting a business. You're getting into business. You're trying to be your own boss, or you're just trying to perfect what you're doing now. Go to your strengths. you can always learn more, but if you've spent all that time learning how to be a Navy SEAL with all the skills that go into it, why wouldn't you apply that to business?
Yeah, there's so much that can be applied, and really what I think, you know, personally, I share my story of focus, because I was unfocused. I was chasing all these opportunities and watching them fail one at a time over time, and I only when I started to focus on, you know, my core opportunity that I had developed is when I started to have success, and I think that's so important today. I see people unfocused, chasing opportunities, but knowing, you know, having a plan, executing against the plan, and being very focused is extremely important.
Brendan, you have so many great catchphrases in here. My three favorite: be confident, not arrogant; hire slow, fire fast; and earn your title every day. That can be applied to anybody.
Absolutely. You know, I have people that have read this book and have took parenting tips out of it. And, you know, I really like, you know, earn your title every day, because in the SEAL teams, we had a saying, you know, earn your trident, which is a SEAL pin. And, you know, you cannot rest on the past. You know, one of our mottos is the only easy day is yesterday. And so, same in business. You have to be a leader and get up every day and bring it every day. And I think that's very important. I see so many people that, you know, they start out of the gate very fast and they're doing a good job. And then they just, you know, a few weeks later tapers off to nothing. And you have to develop a habit to, perform at your best every day. You know, we all have our ups and downs, but when you make it a habit, it's very powerful.
There's physical pain and emotional pain, and I assume in SEAL training you go through both, but you make the point in the book, and this is a lesson for life, pain isn't permanent.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, I
and I'm talking about that specific pain at the time that's screaming at you to quit.
Yeah, and there's a big difference between failure and quitting. You know, when I failed at my first business, I still wasn't giving up on my dream of becoming an entrepreneur and starting a business. You know, and failure oftentimes is necessary to fall down, stumble, learn some valuable lessons and apply it to your next business or career transition. And so, but knowing the difference between failing at something and giving up is a big difference between the two. And, you know, my choice was, look, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go and do my next business. And ultimately, it worked out for me.
Because of the amount of trust you have to place in your fellow Navy SEALs, are you better at figuring out who to trust now than maybe the rest of us are? In other words, is your meter stronger?
I think I'm good at chemistry. You know, when we focus a lot on chemistry in the SEAL teams, and we see it in professional sports all the time, where you have two maybe star athletes on a team, and they're each kind of trying to do their own thing, and it doesn't apply well to the team dynamic, and they don't win championships because, you know, they're not working together as a team, and no individual can win a basketball game by themselves. You have to have the team behind you, and it's the same in business. And so I think chemistry is extremely important. So I always hire for chemistry over talent all day long, because I want someone that's going to be able to integrate with my team and add value and not be arrogant and let their, you know, get in the way of their own selves and at the expense of the team and our mission.
Again, the book is called Total Focus, Andrea.
And never lose your entrepreneurial spirit. How do you keep from getting down? Or if you fail, is that okay?
I talk about self-talk in the book. When I ran the Sniper program, you know, we implemented a mental management system. A lot of it was adopted from the Olympic gold medalists, like the mindset of a champion. And we all, no matter who we are, walk around and with self-talk. And it's, you know, a lot of self-doubt sometimes creeps in. And so I talk about developing a habit, the same habit we gave our Sniper students, to develop positive self-talk. So when you are getting down, and it's, look, everybody deals with it. I deal with it, you know, to this day, but I have a habit when stuff starts to creep in, I say, okay, I need to change my internal narrative and start thinking positively on this. And so the self-talk is something I dive into in the book, but it's extremely important.
And I love that your grandma was one of your role models. I love the story about how she was forced into business when her husband died early, and she just took the bull by the horns and ran with it. And she was kind of your mentor?
You know, she's an inspiration. Even my own mother, who ran a successful business for 20 years and just sold it. She read the book. Actually, she finished it last night and sent me a text this morning and said how she was really inspired by just reading, you know, my stories. And I give her a lot of credit. You know, women in business, I think, have it a lot easier today than they did when my grandmother and mom were in business. So I definitely looked up to mom and my grandmother who named her company after me. She had a collection agency and, you know, these men would call up and demand to speak with, you know, Mr. Brandon, the owner, and swore that they knew this guy. And it's really, you know, my grandmother behind the scenes running everything.
That's pretty funny. And it never let her, or it never stopped her, but that's going to make you feel really good to have your mom say that about your book and your stories.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, my dad too, I give my dad credit. He's wasn't on, you know, started his own construction company, later on became a developer, had a lot of failure along the way as well. So I'm grateful to have, you know, good parents who supported me. And even though, you know, my dad threw me out of the house at 16, but it was a valuable lesson. We were at a sailing trip in the South Pacific, and I learned that there's only one person in charge on the boat.
Yeah, right. And sometimes that person's not you. I got to ask you about sniper school, because it's a fascinating thing, and I'm not being flip at all about it, because it's vitally important. But you were the head instructor at Navy SEAL Sniper School. Sounds like an idiot question, I suppose, but what makes a good sniper? You know, is it a steady hand, or is it between the ears?
I think it's between the ears. It's, you know, we look for students, and the students that excel well are able to handle a lot of high pressure situations. And again, it comes back to focus. It's being able to eliminate the distractions and really look at what's important right now. What's the task that I need to accomplish right now, and not pay attention to the other things going on. And we see that in life. You know, we may get an email and it's this panicked email, and it's easy to get emotional and jump into it. But to be able to step back and say, you know what, I really can't focus on this right now. I need to have this meeting, so I'm going to push this off and prioritize. Being able to prioritize and focus as a sniper and also in our personal lives is an incredibly important skill to learn, and something I talk about in the book as well.
Total Focus, Brandon Webb and his co-author John David Mann. Unavailable everywhere, wherever you get books. Because he's a Navy SEAL and because of the commitment he made to our country, I'm going to up the ante here and say, get three copies. So get one hardcover, download a couple digital or vice versa, but spread it amongst your friends too. It's a great gift, and congratulations on your success. The Hurricane Group business every day is to do what?
We are a military publishing business online. So when you look at when you watch a military show on Discovery Channel, we do that same kind of content, only on the digital world. So it's on your phone or on the internet. And, you know, we have TV, radio, a variety of different
developing all the platforms for alternatives to where you normally see that stuff, which is great. And smart.
We have a big men's gear club called the Crate Club, where we send out really cool gear and gadgets every month. Imagine if, you know, a Navy SEAL and James Bond got together and were shipping you gear every month. And that's a big business called the Crate Club for us as well.
Well, that's cool. What spell Cray?
Crate, like an ammo
crate. Oh, Crate Club. Oh, so
C-R-A-T-E.
So each month you'd get a crate of whatever?
Yeah, really cool products. You pick the level that you want to subscribe to. Oh, and,
dude, I am so getting on this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
The Crate Club.
Yeah. Look at you smiling.
Right? Come on. Gifts for guys right there. Brandon Webb, thank you for your service, my friend. And thank you for the success. Yeah. Congratulations on the success. But thank you for your service, and thank you for writing the book.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show.
Appreciate it. Total focus. Brandon Webb.
Think it's too late for me, Steve?
Yes. It's time for traffic. Here's Mary.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
A listener gave us another idea for an Eclipse song, and it's just a chunk of lyrics from You're So Vain. Remember that? Do you remember the Carly Simon, You're So Vain? You went to Nova Scotia, something totally, to see the total eclipse of the sun?
Oh, yeah.
You know that chunk?
Yes.
It's a live on-air show meeting.
I'm happy with my glasses.
9:13, let's all put our eclipse glasses on. And we're going to talk with the Illinois tourism director here, a friend of the show, in just a second. And, okay, now
I can't, we can't see anything.
Now I cannot see a thing. By the way, these do not fit the larger-headed male.
Oh, you need, you know what you need to do?
Yeah, extend
Give
them
me yours, and I'll glue, like, my there right eye to your left eye and make you a big pair.
Extenders?
You could put, like, a big cardboard box in your head, too. That would work. They can put pinholes in it.
Oh, I can't okay, see because I was going
to
say,
take a picture.
Steve Grzanich, who will be at the epicenter of the eclipse, his melon's as big as mine. It what is. Size head do you wear?
I think mine's actually bigger than yours. I think I've...
I was a size 8 in a football helmet.
I think I'm a 20.
That looks good on you, Steve. I'm not going to lie. That's a solid look for you.
You guys remember when I was with Devo?
Yeah. You whipped it. Whipped it good.
Corey Jobs here, Illinois Tourism Director, and Steve Grzanich is in the newsroom on 7. Corey, you can't see him. Or hear him, but I'll translate for you. Okay. Now put your headphones on.
I broke my headphones.
And if you look over your right shoulder there in the monitor, that's Steve, wave. There you go. That's Corey.
Morning.
Corey,
good morning,
Steve,
Corey.
Steve,
good
Corey.
Morning.
Steve Grzanich is leading a contingent south for the eclipse, which I know you are giddy as a schoolgirl.
I am pumped. It's eclipse mania.
Except...
Except for Mark Carmen. Sitting right beside, he's the first one I've heard
he's
that's not excited.
You know what he said this morning?
Wow.
He's starting to hop on the bandwagon.
I had a little. Yeah, not really, though. What are you excited about specifically, if you could just break that down?
You know, before I leave this room, I'm going to have him a ticket to the eclipse. I'm going to sell him on it.
Yeah.
It's Southern Illinois.
I'd sell him the
it's,
ticket.
It's Shawnee and
by the way, the eclipse
Forest
is free because it's the sun. It's just up there. But in your case, you have to pay.
Well, it's all the exciting things leading into it.
Yes.
The eclipse itself is just the icing on the cake.
Why can't we just throw a party, you know, right now? Let's just go. Let's just get everybody together and have a thing.
Okay. I know you get excited about things like the fifth round of the Bulls draft.
I do.
Yeah.
The fifth round. Is there a fifth round?
There used to be back in the day.
This is, in fact, an astronomical occurrence. That is so rare, much like a Bulls win. It is so rare that it's difficult to even quantify.
Now we have total eclipse of the heart.
Thank you, Bonnie. You're excited about it because you're alive.
It hasn't happened in the U.S. mainland since 1979. And I tell you what, if you're not convinced after Monday, it's going to happen again 7 years from now
right.
in 2024.
So it happens all the time.
Yeah,
well, not
all
the time.
And it hasn't happened in Illinois, Southern Illinois, since 1442.
Right. And 1442. Of course.
It's before Columbus,
yep.
Carm.
9 years before Columbus.
Well, what's going to happen?
What part of this do you not understand?
So you have
go ahead. Corey, explain what happens.
So NASA, in Carbondale, NASA has proclaimed that to be the longest duration for the total solar eclipse. So literally during that 2 minutes and 41 seconds, it starts at 1:21 on Monday. Mm-hmm. Temperatures will drop 20 to 25 degrees. It'll go completely dark. Streetlights will come on. They say that the birds will go crazy.
Yeah.
Here in Chicago, you'll see 90%, but in Carbondale, really in McCand, Illinois, a town of 600, that's where it's all the magic's going to happen.
You did just get me excited on the birds going crazy.
Oh,
like that okay. that was something.
And the animals there. Will lose their S.
I'm actually taking my dog with me, so they say that animals will get a little crazy.
Well, yeah, because their inner clocks are weirded out, right?
Yeah.
But the moon is exactly between us and the sun, and the moon, because of where its position, blocks out the sun.
Yeah, that part does nothing for me.
Wow.
Animals going nuts. That's now, something. Maybe
I've got, how long have you been dead inside?
You really are just dead inside.
Well, how about this? So, you know, starting tomorrow, there's a music festival called Moonstock. Mm-hmm. And the headliner on Monday is none other than Ozzy Osbourne.
Ooh.
He's going to be singing during the eclipse. Does that help?
Where's Ozzy going to be?
He's going to be at a place called Walker's Bluff Vineyard. They, matter of fact, they released this solar red wine. 50,000 bottles have been produced by Walker's Bluff Vineyard. Beautiful place. I mean, it's gorgeous.
That is so cool.
4-day music festival. You can camp on the site, but Monday.
By the way, you know you're not leaving with that bottle.
Oh, totally.
Yes. We're going to try it before we leave. I have a lot of... See, we should have bought a case.
But see, here's the problem. I don't think that it's safe to drink something with Ozzy's face on it, unless Sharon's approved it.
Well, Sharon! And I'm shocked he's performing at 1 p.m.
Yeah.
In the afternoon. That's really early for him.
Yeah, yeah, that's like a breakfast show.
That's happening.
Yeah. Is that the tie-in because of the bat incident and bats may come out during the eclipse?
Yeah, why is Ozzy doing this? Just because Ozzy is a wine guy now?
No, it's the whole eclipse thing, and Walker's Bluff got very creative in terms of putting this festival together and worked with the right folks.
Yeah, yep. It's Ozzy's, yeah. You know, kind of.
It's his shtick. No. All right. It's his thing.
Got it.
So that's going on.
So we don't care. My point is, we don't care if Carmen's not on board. We're on board.
Yeah, we're all on board.
Yeah, we're on board.
You'll be the only one.
Will they should they open up Wrigley for this maybe? You know, sell beer, have a moment. Like, this is an opportunity.
Why is it always sports with you?
Well, I'm trying to get
myself
excited.
This is why your girlfriend is too young for you, is about to leave you.
But
because
do you have information on that I'm unaware?
Yeah, she called 10 minutes ago.
she's excited about the eclipse.
Because it doesn't have to be all sports. There's a whole world of things going on out there that aren't sports.
Well, where should we watch it in Chicago?
Go to the Adler Planetarium.
Well, the Adler Planetarium is one. Okay. Shoreline Cruise is another. They're doing various boat cruises.
Do you know anybody with a high rise?
The 360 is having a eclipse dance party.
Mm-hmm. My brother does go to the top of the 21st floor of the Tribune to the deck up there.
Is that going to be a thing?
I don't know. We could make it a thing. Why not?
Let's make it. We might as well exploit this building before we leave.
We're leaving. This is cool though. There's different travel packages to go see.
You know, the
eclipse.
Great thing is the eclipse happens on a Monday afternoon, so that's a great opportunity for visitors to go to Southern Illinois and take in all the great
3-day weekend.
3-day weekend. We just released a new trip itinerary with our Illinois Maker program. You know, we were here a few months ago talking about Illinois Made, which celebrates all the artisans who are creating and crafting great things in the state. So a lot of the wineries, the microbrews have released special wine labels and beers. And we've got a great trip itinerary with our Illinois Made program starting up in Effingham and make your way south. And then there's just a lot of free festivals, events in Carbondale. NASA itself has got a lot of activities at SIU. We just learned yesterday they sold out SIU Saluki Arena, sold 14,000 tickets for the eclipse viewing party on Monday afternoon.
Wait, in the arena?
In the arena, in the football arena.
But why would you... Or the football stadium?
Football stadium.
Why would you be indoors
to
watch
the
eclipse?
Football stadium. Yeah, I should be watching.
Cool
I've got a sports
idea.
Guy here. I better make sure I get that right.
Yeah. And then my understanding, because I'm going to be there, my understanding is they're going to, on the field, NASA and Adler Planetarium are going to be down there doing the show to go along with what you're seeing in the
sky.
That
is correct.
So it'll be kind of a cool science-y thing.
And
I'm going to do an interpretive dance to the eclipse.
Oh, good.
And you know what? That's the connection with sports, Carmen, right there at McAndrew Stadium.
Steve, I want to come with you now.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And there's still a few, you know, rooms are still available, hotel, but they're at a premium. But the Illinois Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources just announced there's still camping sites available at DuQuoin State Fairgrounds, the World Shooting Complex for $25 a night. A lot of people are camping. You know, Amtrak had express train service. That sold out within 24 hours. So now they're offering express train service to the western part of the state, where it's about 97% totality over in Quincy, Princeton, Kewaunee, and Galesburg.
Airbnb, too, was the
Airbnb
record
is
numbers.
Still record numbers. The region is expecting over 200,000 for the weekend. Carbondale city limits, 60-plus thousand, and over 20,000 on the campus of SIU Carbondale. I've talked to a lot of reporters there. You know, SIU... was renting out a dorm building. It sold out
that.
Let me tell you something. Getting out of Southern Illinois, you're going to be there till the next eclipse.
Oh, totally, right?
That's what businesses hope.
Can you hang around a second?
Yes.
All right, good, because you haven't opened the wine yet. Corey Jobs here, Illinois Tourism Big Guru Head Cheese. What's your title?
Director.
Oh, that'd be
I like that guru head cheese.
Yeah, guru
cheese.
Head
like
cheese
that.
Pretty strong.
Perfect.
We're talking about the total eclipse of the sun
It's still scheduled for Monday, Mr. Tilton?
Yes, 1:21 in the afternoon.
Yes, at 1:21, the temperature will drop 20 degrees.
Yes.
Your animals will go goofy.
Yes.
And you will see something that you may not see again in your lifetime. I don't know what you're doing in 7 years. Yeah, you might be busy.
Who knows what's going to happen in 7 years.
And it's not going to happen over Makanda 7 years from now or where else?
Yes. Still same path.
Oh, come on.
No, same path.
But as far as we know, this is the one you got
to
see.
Well, this is the one you
got to
see.
I'm trying to do your job here for you. This is the one you got to see.
This is it.
This is the one you
the
have
once
to
in a
see.
Lifetime.
Yes. Once in a life until 7 years from now. Yes. This is it. You got to see it.
Gotta
That's what
see
got
it.
All this other special stuff like.
Oh, my gosh. As long as you're going down there, try and take advantage of some of the wineries that we have in Illinois. Beautiful Alto Vineyards, St. Nicholas Brewing Company. They have specials.
They brewed a special Black Sun Pale Ale. Black Sun Pale Ale.
How much of this are you trying at work?
Oh, not.
And then the Ozzy Osbourne wine.
Yes.
I got an insider tip for you, too, having grown up down there and have family down there still. It is peaches time.
Yes.
And so you should go to Cobden and get some fresh peaches.
And Rendleman's Orchard.
Yes, yep. Steve.
Some of the best.
You should do that, Steve.
I'm actually going to bring some back for everybody.
Yep. I'm going to pay. I'm going to do. I'm
don't
gonna
eat
hit
them
that.
All.
You know, the wine trail there, it's over 20 years old. Alto Pass. Shawnee Hills Wine Trail. I'm taking some folks on Saturday. We're going to sip our way around. What else is pretty popular with all the orchards is, what's the word? Oh, my goodness. I lost my train of thought. The hard ciders. A lot of the orchards, a lot
Apple
of the wineries Mac. Are producing hard ciders.
That's why we're not sending Dave in it.
That's right. I know.
You know, something else, too. The people of Southern Illinois are wonderful people. You'll learn that immediately. But Makanda, where the big part of this is happening, remember Paul Simon, Senator Paul Simon?
Yeah, sure.
That's where he's from, Makanda. Yeah. So the people, if you know, remember Paul Simon, that's what the people of Southern Illinois are like in that part of the state.
Well, you know, the Makanda is 600 people, and it's just one main street. And they've got the Makanda Boardwalk that's filled with local artisans making handcrafted products. Several of those
How long
will
is
be
the Makanda
display.
Boardwalk in a town of 600 people? 50 feet?
Maybe four storefronts.
Okay, well, that's good. It's still a boardwalk.
I heard the mayor there this week suggesting that maybe people should find some more space outside of Makanda if they're coming down there. He's a little worried about how many people are going to be there.
I found more things that Steve can bring back for us from the the Marcou Jersey Creamery.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of ice creams they're making.
It's going to be a long drive back. How's he going to do
You got to have some snacks in the car.
He can bring some dry ice.
Great minds.
And it's just, I mean, and the Shawnee National Forest in itself, great hiking. You do not realize you're in Southern Illinois. You're in Illinois when you're at the Shawnee National Forest. And one of my favorites, if you go down, you can't do this on Monday, but the weekend is an outfitter called White Crane Canoe Rental, and you can go canoeing in the Cache River. I mean, it's cypress trees that have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. There are openings on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but he was offering an Eclipse canoe ride during the Eclipse. It sold out. But
so you'd be in the canoe during the Eclipse?
Yes, yeah.
When it goes dark?
When it goes dark. Mm. That might be a
How about
little.
That?
I do love a canoe.
Okay.
And wear
we're turning. We're
wear
doing, and you got to wear your glasses.
ISO,
don't forget.
Don't forget.
ISO and approved.
One other event. I don't know if you guys mentioned it at SIU, the Crossroads Comic-Con. Did you mention that?
Did not.
At the Student Center, they're having a Comic-Con. So there are some science fiction writers and some NASA people that are going to be there.
You know, Gersant's been on the show now for 2 years. I've never heard him this excited about anything.
It's unbelievable.
It's very excited. Can't wait.
Are you coming back?
I might not.
I'm telling you. It doesn't sound like you are.
They're sending me with equipment to broadcast live from there. I just might stay down there.
Yeah.
Well, your mom show would there appreciate it. For the rest of the week.
Yeah, there you go.
It's great to see you, Corey. You're always welcome here.
You know, a couple things for your listeners. Just a couple of websites, I think, to remember, because there's a lot of information.
Do these have anything to do with the Eclipse, or
these
are just websites you like?
The Eclipse, www.carbondaleeclipse.com. The latest traffic information, places to eat, lodging that's still available, all the free festivals. And then if you go to our website at enjoyillinois.com, you can download our Illinois-made trip idea itinerary. And it's all right there for you to have fun in Southern Illinois for the weekend enjoying the eclipse.
And if you're on the SIU homepage right now, 4 days, 3 hours, 48 minutes, 45 seconds.
Eclipse, big story with the eclipse coming up in a second. What's the prison by SIU? Is it Menard?
Well, Marion Penitentiary.
Marion.
Yeah. And there's a juvenile detention facility.
Have they done
there
any Airbnbs there?
I try.
I don't think
so. Well, that would be a unique visit. That would be a memorable experience. We're about creating memories. But I'm not certain that's the memory I want to create.
All right, fine. Yeah, no, I didn't include you in that, Corey. thank you
Thank
well.
You, Steve.
And thanks for
it's
doing a great
pleasure.
Job
love
with
it.
Illinois Tourism. I know you love your job and
I
it
love
comes
it.
Through. All right, we'll do the big story, and Andre will talk more clips in a second at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Woo-hoo! And welcome back to Orion Samuelson. All right, Big O, I'm looking at a list here. When were you born?
When was I born?
When were you born?
1934.
1934, we had on April 19th what looks like about a half eclipse.
I don't remember it.
And then April 7th of 1940. And at that point, you're what, about a year old?
No, 1940, 6 years old.
Oh, 34, you said. Got
yep,
it. So,
34.
Yeah. But it looks like the one that maybe would have stuck in your mind as I scroll through the very scientific list here.
Right.
Maybe it would have been 1990. Is that the one that, Andrea, you guys were doing at the University of Illinois?
That was 94, it would have been.
Yeah, May of 94.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would remember that, yeah.
February of 79, there's one here that looks like it was a significant part of the Earth was able to view this. Anyway, it's an astronomical event of significance. So what does it do to the farm animals?
The farm animals do react in some ways. Chickens start getting ready on the roost to go to sleep. And, it does have an impact on farm animals. Not anything that is negative, but they're certainly aware of it, yeah.
So after the 2 minutes and 40 seconds go by, do the animals go, well, what the hell was that? I thought it was bedtime.
Yeah, probably do. I don't think they use that language, but they probably do, yes.
Now, moving on, because we're excited about this eclipse thing, because, you know, it just doesn't happen that much. And frankly, we could use some good news or at least a diversion.
Yes. Yeah. And it will be a diversion.
All right. So let me move on here to one other political item before we get to what we're really after, and that's more Me Rye Sweet Corn. That other piece of political news is a trade war with China. Now, here's my advice to the audience. If you listen to Orion, you're going to be fine. If you go against the common sense advice and well-educated advice Orion gives you, you're not going to be fine. You have told us forever how bad an idea it is to blow up trade agreements and certainly to start a trade war because the others can hit back. So your thoughts on the impact of a trade war with China or the agricultural impact, if you prefer.
Well, a trade war with anybody, and of course, this is the week we start talking about renegotiating NAFTA, that President Bill Clinton put into effect back in the early 90s. And the renegotiation, at first President Trump said we're just simply going to drop out of it and start all over again. Later on, he said, well, let's negotiate it. And so the talk starts this week. The challenge, I think, that the negotiators have, and there are three countries. There are Mexico to the south, Canada to the north, and we are right in the middle. From an agricultural standpoint, it's been a success, the trade agreement that we put together. It's expanded agricultural trade for all three countries, and we're doing a lot of cross-border activity in the commodity market. So that's good. The thing that concerns me about the negotiations that are getting underway, I think there'll be an attempt to put U.S. labor and manufacturing up against agriculture, because the auto industry particularly says NAFTA made it much easier to move automobile plants to Mexico. On the other hand, I don't hear much talk about the Japanese plants making automobiles that have moved into the United States, creating jobs. But I really think the loss of jobs in the auto industry is more the robotic improvements, more so than the trade negotiations. So we're going to be watching very carefully as to what happens. with the NAFTA agreement. And later in the month, when we're at Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois, on the Wednesday of the show, which is August 30th, Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue will come to the Farm Progress Show, and we hope to have an opportunity to talk to him because he's a pretty down-to-earth guy. I like what he has done. I like what he is doing, and I particularly like his work with young people to get them started into agricultural careers. So looking forward to that come the end.
That sounds good. Sounds very good.
Yeah.
The question came up while you were talking there from a texter, which I thought was interesting, with all your time in the air with Air Orion. The temperature is going to drop 20 degrees in very short order.
Yes.
Is that a problem for airplanes?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Because that's, once we get above 25, 30,000 feet, which we never do with Air Orion, by the way, because we're not pressurized. But, temperatures drop sharply when you get to that altitude. So I don't think it will have an impact. It would be interesting to be in the air when that happens, but I don't have Air Orion scheduled for any events next week. Commenting on Air Orion, of course, I spent Tuesday at the Illinois State Fair for the Salute to Agriculture Day, which was a great day. Really was.
Nice.
Good turnout. Young people were honored. Mature people were honored.
Did you go by the Orion Barn?
Pardon?
Did you go by your building?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think it was even mentioned in the Sun Times this morning by a reporter who covered the Illinois State Fair this week and said, drove by the Orion Samuelson Jr. Livestock Building. And
there you go. There
now
you
I
go.
Have to go down when the fair is over and clean it, of course. That's
right,
part
of the deal.
Yep.
Got to sweep up your plaque on the Walk of Fame, and you got to clean your building at the fair.
Yes.
It never ends for you.
But we had a great time. Oh, and my comment on looking at fields from the air, because we flew down at 4,500 feet, so that gives you a much better look at what's happening on the ground below you than in a jet at 35,000 feet. It's interesting to me because second trip I've made now downstate in the last week, and north of I-80, evidence of a lot of drowned out fields and spots in the center of the field that maybe you don't see from a road eye view. But when you get south of I-80, hardly saw any drowned results in the field. So I-80 seemed to be the separating point, at least in Illinois, for that. And but I tell you what, great day at the Illinois State Fair. 4-H'ers and FFA members, that it's their Super Bowl, it's their World Series because of year of hard work. They go to the fair to compete with everything from clothing to steers to you name it, they're there.
Well, congratulations again, because who's had more impact on that and the growth of ag amongst kids than you, generation by generation? And I know how much you like meeting kids who grew up and became farmers and are passing their farms on in their families as well, either whether it was a continued effort or a brand new farm. All right, the Mirai sweet corn. Good God, oh, is it good.
I know.
It's just tremendous.
I've only had one serving of it this year because I've not been down at WGN when Gary Pack shows up with his semi-truckload of Mirai sweet corn.
Yeah, and I just want to encourage Gary to swing by again if he's in the neighborhood.
I would second that, Steve.
I think he can probably do that because they're looking forward to harvesting into October.
Wow.
You know, the interesting thing is farmers who grow corn hope they plant it just once. They've had to do replanting this year because of the wet weather. But sweet corn, you have to plant it, every 10 days or so, starting in late April if you can get it in that early. And then you'll plant into July so that come October, you'll have sweet corn fresh coming off the field to the market. So
well, as
one
usual,
more challenge for Gary.
As usual, Orion Samuelson getting it done. And you sound great. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
There you go. That's a big O.